Let's stand together for a word of prayer. Almighty God, we pause before you this morning again in Jesus' name. We thank you for the things that we've heard and witnessed here this morning already. And Lord, we're trusting you, Father, to continue with us as we look into the Word of God. And we pray, Father, that every soul, every one of us here, Lord, might be able to receive something that would be for the furtherance of our walk with thee, O God. Lord, we just commit ourselves to you. Break thou the bread of life, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We greet you this morning in the precious name of Jesus, and we are glad to be here. We've enjoyed the service thus far, and I'm excited about what God is doing and about God wants to do with the people of God. This morning I have a question. What was the greatest event that took place that had the greatest effect upon mankind in history? Does anyone want to answer that question? Bob? Resurrection. Any other?
Sin of Adam.
Oh, yeah, that was the bad effect. I'm talking about the good effect. that was the bad one. Yeah, you're right. What was the positive effect that God had upon man? Bruce. Okay, Bob?
The birth of Jesus.
The birth? Okay, all those were very great. William? That's what I was thinking about this morning. You know, all the others, the finished work of Christ, the atonement, the death, the suffering, the resurrection. How did people act after that? What did it do to them? They all gathered together in a little room upstairs and sat up there, right? That's really what they did until the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And then something broke loose. That's really the thought that I'm thinking about this morning. You know, all those other things, the atonement, the work of Christ on the cross, yes, it positioned us in God, in Christ. It put us in a position of the redemption, the atonement, and all those things were definitely very vital part of our salvation. But thinking of what effect it had on the people, you know, they all gathered together in a little room upstairs and sat up there and really didn't change them very much yet. How long did they sit up there in that room? Does anyone have any thought on that? How long did they gather together up there in that little room? Does anybody know? Jake?
9 days.
9 days? Probably pretty close. And, well, yeah.
1 week.
I'd say about a week. Week to 9 days, right in there somewhere. I'm not quite sure. See, it was Christ. It was Christ was on the earth 40 days after the resurrection. He was 3 days in the tomb. And Pentecost was 50 days after the Passover. So I would say about a week, probably, would be what I would think. Maybe, I don't know if you have any evidence that's more accurate than that or not, but I'm not sure. But I was just calculating the times. But seemed like they spent about a week up there, and they had an ordination, and they had a few things that took place. But whenever the Spirit of God came down upon them, they were never the same again. So we want to look at this. I remember when I was a boy, we used to have in the River Brethren Church, every spring they had Love Feast. And it was usually about the time of Pentecost. And there was a bishop from Ohio that used to come in, and he was a powerful man of God. And he always preached a Pentecost message that Sunday morning. He would preach on Pentecost. And it's something that I don't think we hear a lot in our circles anymore. I don't remember hearing a message on Pentecost recently anyhow. But I think that Pentecost, the experience that happened on the day of Pentecost, was something that changed mankind. It changed the church. It moved the church. It was the foundation of the church. It was when we talked about this morning, there was a brother prayed, "Thy kingdom come." And that's another question. When did the kingdom come? One place you said, "The kingdom is within you." And I believe the kingdom of God came down to man when the Holy Spirit came down to dwell in the hearts of the people and when the church was established. In my mind, that is when the kingdom came. Jesus said also, when he was here, we talked about faith this morning. We talked about the Old Testament faithful ones that did great things for God. And we talked about the things that Jesus did here on the earth. Jesus did many great things here on the earth. Jesus did many, many miracles. But do you know what he said? He said in John 14, "Verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do. Because I go to my Father, and whatsoever ye ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in me." And here I believe he's referring to the fact that whenever he goes to the Father, he said, "Because I go to the Father, when I go to the Father, I will send the Holy Spirit upon you. And God will do great things on the earth through the power of the Holy Spirit working through the Christians. Even greater things than what Jesus did here on the earth." So we want to look at what happened. We want to take a close look at the second chapter of Acts and go through a number of the things here. Another place we have here that Jesus told the disciples after he left, or when he was ready to leave. After he was ready to leave, he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall be covered." This was the charge that God gave to the church after he's gone, when the Holy Spirit comes. Are we still living in that age? Is that charge still for us? I'm inclined to think it is. I don't see why it wouldn't be. And that's one thing that I remember that, and the burden of my heart is that every one of us would have had a personal Pentecost experience in our life. I know that's what I remember that old bishop preaching years ago, was the need for every individual to have a personal Pentecost experience in his own life and what it takes to come to that. And I guess that's my burden this morning, that every one of us today, as we have that personal Pentecost experience in our life, I believe that we will be affected just like the the disciples were in the book of Acts. I believe there will be changes take place. I believe we'll be have a boldness and a power in our life that we have never had before. Let's start beginning in Acts chapter 2. He says that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. They were all gathered together, and they were waiting for this time to come. And when the day came, and it suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they were dwelling at Jerusalem in those days, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Here we see the setting. It was the day of Pentecost, was a day whenever many people came. It was Pentecost was not a New Testament term. It's an Old Testament term. It's a Pentecost was a day of, as I read, it sounded like it would have been a celebration of the harvest. It was a time in the middle of the summer, I guess, whenever they got together and they had a worship time, a time to worship the Lord, and they offered sacrifices to God in regards to the harvest. It was a harvest meeting, more or less. Some of us have harvest meetings in the fall, but they were having harvest meetings, I guess. I don't know if it was right in the middle of the harvest or when it was, but anyhow, this is what Pentecost originally was. And it so happened that the Lord arranged that the Holy Spirit would come when all the different people came from all the many different nations and came together at Jerusalem for this celebration. And that's why that there were so many people from many different lands with many different languages that came together on that day. And God chose that day to pour out the Holy Spirit. And I believe for that reason, for the purpose that God had in mind was so that it would spread far and fast through the land, that many people from many nations and many areas and many languages would hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus, would hear the power of God, and would experience the witness of the Spirit in their life. And this is what happened there on that day, as the Holy Spirit came down. As the Holy Spirit came down on them, and it says they experienced a rushing sound, a sound of heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. I mean, this was the Spirit of God coming upon them. I've used this illustration already, and I don't know if I have I don't know if I have concrete evidence of it, but I like to think of the way that in the beginning when God created man, He made him and He breathed into him the breath of life, and man became a living soul, and he became alive, and he had a relationship with God. But then when man sinned, like John talked about, when man sinned, that relationship was cut off and it died. But today, here on Pentecost, I like to think it was God breathing on them, that rushing mighty wind, again breathing the Spirit of God into them, where they were again like they were back before they sinned, as far as having the power of God and the presence of God and the Spirit of God dwelling in them. They were again restored to that relationship with God that they had before the fall. They were now a spiritual being. They were a spiritual kingdom. They were a kingdom that is indwelt by God. I believe this is what happened here on this day. I don't know. I mean, I believe that these tongues of fire and the mighty wind are symbols of the Spirit of God Himself coming and dwelling within, indwelling the church here. And now we have here about the many Jews and devout men out of every nation under heaven being there. And when there was, and this was was noised abroad. I don't know how this all took place, but it must have been a lot of noise took place there after that happened. It says it was noised abroad. They must have been making a lot of noise, and people started wondering what's going on over there. And they started paying attention to what's happening. I don't know. I don't know exactly how it was, but I believe it says it was noised abroad. And I believe they were rejoicing and they were praising God and they were excited about what was happening. One place it says that they thought that they were drunk men. And they were rejoicing and worshiping God and praising God, and they were glorifying God in the work that God has done for them. And the amazing thing was that it says that they spoke in tongues, and I don't understand this for sure. I'm not sure exactly how it was, but I believe, as it says here very clearly, that all the different nations with all the different languages understood what was being said. And I don't know if there was different ones speaking different. Everybody was speaking a different language so that everybody can understand. If everybody spoke one language and they could all can understand it, I'm not sure how that was. But that was the purpose of I believe that God gave the tongues here at this time was so that everybody could hear and understand the message of God. And all the different nations and all the different languages, they all heard the message of salvation through Jesus. And they were amazed and they marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, we are not all these Galileans, and how we hear every man in our own tongue wherein we were born." This was a miraculous thing. This was an amazing thing. And I don't know why we don't experience more of that today. I'm not sure whether it's something we should be experiencing today or not. I know we have different people speak different languages. And whether it's simply talking about speaking in different languages, I'm not here to argue that. I believe that God manifested Himself in a great and miraculous way in order to reach the hearts of the people. And I believe God is still able to do that today in whatever way He sees fit to do it. I want God to have I want God to manifest Himself in our midst in a way that brings glory to His name, and it will bring salvation to souls, and that men will come to fall on their face before God and cry out for repentance like they did here on the day of Pentecost. It says, "How hear we every man in our own tongue? Parthians, Medes, Elamites and dwellers in Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus in Asia, Pergia, Pamphylia in Egypt," all these different places. It says they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one another, "What meaneth this?" Others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine." But Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost, and God gave him unction and He gave him wisdom to stand up. And he preached the message of salvation through Jesus. He started in many of the Old Testaments. He shared many of the Old Testament scriptures. Of course, that's all they had back in those days. He said, "This is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. It shall come, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." Were these people in the last days? If they're in the last days, where are we? Surely we must be in the last days too. And if God intended this for the church back then, surely it must be good for us today, because we're in the last of the last days. That God will pour out of His Spirit upon all flesh, and that sons and the daughters will prophesy, and the young men shall see visions, and old men shall dream dreams. I believe that God intends that we have a spirit among us, a spirit of prophecy, a spirit of power, a spirit of wisdom, a spirit of understanding and knowing what is going on, that we can minister to one another in a way that can be for the edification and the building up of the church. I believe that we underestimate the power of God entirely too many times. I know we try to put these kind of things and try to reason them away and try to explain them away and try to indicate that something that happened back there, but it doesn't apply to us. But I believe that God means these kind of things should happen to our people in our day, that the power of God can come down upon us and that these same kind of things can happen. I believe God wants every one of His people to experience the power of God in this way, that there be a personal Pentecost in each one of our lives. On my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I believe this is the gospel message for every one of us today, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And this is the purpose and the design of God's plan, that we have the power of the Spirit upon our life, in our preaching and in our teaching and in our influence in the world, that things happen. We're not just here to entertain ourselves. We're not just here to sit in the upper room like the men did before the day of Pentecost, but we're here to go out and to reach out, and we're here to make a difference in the world around us. And I believe God wants that for us here in this place today. I believe God wants to see a people that will go forth and will make a difference in the world around us. This is not something that is just history. This is our God, and He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, the man approved of God, and among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken him by wicked hands, have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the bands of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden by it. Praise God for the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. That power is available to you and I today, that we can have the resurrection power, that power of God. That's what is that Spirit of God that brought forth Jesus out of the grave. I believe that there was a breath of God came down and brought Jesus up out of the grave. I believe it's that same Spirit that came down on the day of Pentecost, and it's that same Spirit that will come into your and I life today if we surrender our all to God, if we consider ourselves as dung before Him and allow Him to lift us up and to bring us out of the gutter and make us the one He wants us to be. David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he was on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life, and thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Is God making us full of joy with the countenance of the Holy Spirit upon our life? This is what God is designed for the church, that we can have the fullness of joy in our hearts, and that we can have the countenance of God in our face. Men and brethren, let me speak to you of the patriarch David, of how he is both dead and buried, and a sepulchre is with us to us this day. Therefore, being a prophet, knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, and the fruit of his loins according to his flesh, that he would raise up Christ to sit on the throne, he, seeing this before, spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter, to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I believe that God has that design for every one of us, that we, by faith, we receive the gift of the Holy Ghost as we repent, as we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that God will baptize us with that power, with that Spirit, that witness will be in our hearts that we are a child of God and that we are on the way to heaven, that we do have peace with God. With the promises unto you and to your children, to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words, he did testify and exhort to them, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. And many of them repented, and they received the word and were baptized, 3,000 souls that day. And they continued steadfastly in the doctrine, in the fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Here we see the church. The church was established. There were 3,000 souls, and they came together, and they worshiped together in their houses, it says. And it says fear came upon every soul. Here we see the fear of God in their hearts. They had a fear of God, that they desired to do what was right. God put place within them a passion for holiness, a love for the truth, and a hatred for sin, that they no longer wanted to walk after the lusts of the flesh, but they wanted to walk with God. They wanted to please God. They didn't have to have a set of rules to tell them what was right and what was wrong, but they had it in their heart to please God. They had fear in their heart that they wanted to do what was right. They wanted to please their God. They had a reverential fear. They didn't have a fear that torments, but it was a fear that drove them to walking with God. It drove them to pleasing God. It drove them to turning away from the world and turning away from sin and turning unto God. And we see the togetherness that the people had here. Here he says that they were together and they had all things common. They sold their possessions and parted them as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple. They continued, had a daily worship. And they were in the temple every day. And they were breaking bread from house to house. And they ate their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. And they were praising God. There was a worship going on. They were praising the Lord. And they were lifting their hearts to God. And they were having favor, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. This is the power of God moving in the lives of people just like you and I today. And I believe that this power is available just as much today as it was then. If we, by faith, like we heard this morning, that we have the faith of God, that we have the faith in the Word of God, that we have the faith that God's Word is true. We have faith that the work of God is real in our hearts. This can be experienced in you and our heart today. It may not happen just like it was here, but the one thing I've noticed here, you know, it's not too far over here in I think it's in chapter 4. Already again. This was not a once and only experience. It was in 433, he says, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of Jesus. There was power in the words that they preached. There was power in the teaching that they gave. There was power in their life that God used to convince people of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it says, and there was great grace upon them. There was great grace upon their lives. And God's grace was great in their midst, and God wants That same great grace is available to us today. If we can experience a brokenness like they experienced, and we have a willingness to surrender our lives completely to God, if we're willing to lay down everything that we have, if we're willing to lay down our preconceived ideas, and if we're willing to lay down our preferences, and we're willing to surrender everything that we have, and everything that we are, and everything that we thought we are, and just lay it at the feet of Jesus, and surrender everything that we know, and allow Christ to come in, and allow the Spirit of God to come in and fill us, and allow the purposes of God to be accomplished in our life. God wants us. He wants every one of us to be completely surrendered to Him. Just like we heard this morning, that every power and the grace of God can be great upon us. I'm not quite sure where it was. It was just, I think it was chapter 3. Anyhow, they were praying again. They were praying again, and the Spirit came upon them and shook the place again. And the power came upon them. It was a experience that happened more than once in their life. And I believe it's something that God, it's not just something that once I get this, then I've got it. I've seen that too many times where people get a great experience with God, and from there on, it seems like they just sort of drift out into the world. I believe God wants us to maintain that surrender to Him, and He wants to continually fill us. He wants to do it. I believe He wants to sanctify us, and He wants to continue to work in us, to make us more what He wants us to be. I believe that the disciples experienced it more than once, where the Spirit of God came with power upon them, and great grace came upon them for the work that God had for them to do. And I believe that's what God wants us to experience today. I think too many times we're satisfied to talk about the experience we had back there one time, and we forget to realize that we need to keep our experience up to date with God. We can't live on what happened 20 years ago. We need to have a fresh anointing of God in our life every day. We need to have a fresh outpouring of God in our heart. God wants to give us a fresh anointing of His grace and His love. And He will, if we break our hearts before Him, surrender our lives to Him, and we're willing to lay down our reputation for Him. We're willing to lay down our wealth. Here they even sold everything that they had. They sold everything. They sold their properties. And they gave the money to the church. And they divided it all up equally. They had no rich people and poor people. Everybody was all the same. They had their money all together. I'm not saying that whether we should do something like that or not, but I believe God wants us to experience His grace and His power in our life. And if we surrender everything that we have to Him and allow Him to have full control of our life, I believe He wants to give us a Pentecost experience. I believe He wants to pour out His Holy Spirit upon us like He never has before. God's grace is great. And there's so much that we are not experiencing so many times. There's so much available beyond what we can ever comprehend. And we're satisfied with too little. I guess this is a message that I'm trying to put across to us this morning. We're satisfied with too little. God wants us to experience great things, and He wants the church to be going forth with power and with a witness and with the evidence of God. And we want to encourage each one of us to be able to find our place before God and allow God to have full control of our life, that the Spirit of God can flow freely in our midst, and that the power of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus, can be preached, and that lives can be touched and changed, that the name of God can be lifted up. This is my burden this morning. We see they continued steadfast in the doctrine. They continued in fellowship. That's one thing that I like to see, where they were going from house to house and sharing together. I don't believe they had walls up. I don't believe there was somebody that said, those people over there, I don't like them. I'm not going in their house. God forbid that there be something like that in the church. We must tear down the walls. We must tear down attitudes that would divide us. But we must have a free flowing among us, that there be nothing that would hinder our relationships with each other. We must have a fellowshipping together from house to house, where every one of us have an openness and a freedom together to live together in harmony and love, that the power of God manifested among us, that we have a closeness, that we have a love and a fellowship among us. God forbid that we have walls. And I think we've had that entirely too much, that there have been walls among us. Those walls need to come down. We cannot have attitudes and bitterness toward our brothers and sisters. We must be free. We must have the liberty of the Spirit among us to love one another, that the love of God would be manifest in our hearts toward all men, and especially toward the household of faith. They continued in breaking of bread. They continued in prayer. We cannot slack off of prayer. We can't just pray whenever we get in trouble. We must continue in prayer. Continuing in prayer every day. There must be a seeking God, a walking with God, and a worshiping God, a praising God, and a praying to God. There's much enemy territory that needs to be conquered. And we're not going to do it if we're going to sit around and bicker around about each other. But we have to look beyond. We have to look to the world and the needs around us. And we have to have a burden and a compassion for the lost. We must be on fire for God, for the community. The people around us are dying in sin. God help us that we have that burden, that we have the power and the witness upon us to preach the Word of God and to reach out and touch lives and change, that the Spirit of God can change people, that souls can be saved. God help us. That's what we're here for. That's our purpose. Many wonders and signs were done. I believe God would like to do a lot more wonders and signs among us than what we experience today. And I believe He can. I believe He will. I believe He would if we would let Him. Jesus did many miracles. He healed many people. He did great things. But He says, you are going to do greater things than these. Do you believe that? We're going to do greater things than what Jesus did. That's what He said. Well, I believe that the conversion, the transformation of a life is one thing that is greater than what Jesus did. He was not here with the, He was not changing people's lives. He was, yes, He was. He was changing them. He was healing them. But I believe the message of the gospel of the transformed life comes only by the power of the Holy Spirit in the hearts of His people. And I believe this is possibly what He was referring to by the greater things than what I do. Greater things than healing people and raising people from the dead, but raising people from the spiritual darkness that they are in to a transformed life, a new creature in Christ Jesus. Maybe you don't agree with me on that, but I believe that that is a powerful work that the church is called to do, to the message of the resurrection, the power of the resurrection in the life of the Christian, to preach out and to preach the gospel with authority, and to see lives change from the gutter of sin to righteousness in Jesus Christ. That is a powerful ministry, and it's in our hands today. It's in our hands today in 2010, right before the end times. We are the ones that are responsible to carry on this ministry. It's in our hands to do. And are we equipped? with the power of the Spirit of God in our lives to be able to go out and do the work that God wants us to do? Are we equipped for it? If unless we are experiencing the power and the presence of God in our life today, we're not equipped for the work that God has called us to do. And this is the message that I have burdened on my heart this morning. There's much work to do. There's much needs to be done. There's much that God is calling us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And we need only to have the witness and the power of the Spirit of God upon us. And He can use us for that purpose. But unless we have that in our life, unless we are filled with His Spirit and allow Him to have full control of our life, it's not going to happen. So this is my prayer and desire for the church, that we might experience what God wants us to be experiencing. I think this morning, I'm going to just pause and we're going to give some time. Anyone here this morning that feels you need more than what you have, that you need something, that you need the power and the witness of the Spirit in your life so that you can do the work that God wants you to do, I want you to just come up here and tell God about it. God said, Jesus said that He will give the Spirit to those that ask Him. I'm just going to give an invitation this morning. If you're faltering in your Christian life, if you're discouraged, if you're defeated, just come forward and ask God to do a work in your heart this morning.